Mark chapter 4, verse 17. There we go. There we go. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now, I know that this was for Peter and John and for these other of their brethren that were fishermen. This was an ordinary day. This was their life. I guess you could say this was their mundane existence. Every day, they got up early. They went fishing. This was not fishing for fun. This was fishing for a living. This was their career. This was their livelihood. And it was their everyday existence. It was not only that, but it likely had been their father's occupation and his father's occupation. And we don't know how many generations, but it was very typical for sons to do what their fathers did and just follow in the line of that occupation. So this was their livelihood. This was who they were. They were fishermen. And that's what it says here, that for they were fishers. It wasn't just their occupation. It was really their identity. It was not only what they did, it was who they were. And so when Jesus came by that day, he changed the ordinary into something mighty and supernatural. Amen. Now, Peter could have never imagined. Now, here he is, this rough, calloused, old fisherman out there taking care of his daily occupation. I don't know how he was thinking, but we can just assume that he was thinking, "This is my life, and this is who I am. This is what my father was, and his father was, and it's who my sons will be." He could never have imagined that in 3.5 years, he was going to stand up on the day of Pentecost, and he was going to preach the message that was going to initiate the birth of the church. And it was going to be so mighty and so powerful as he ministers under the unction of the Holy Ghost. It's going to be so powerful that there were going to be 3,000 souls that were going to be convicted and brought into the church. He could have never, in his wildest imaginations, ever dreamed that was ahead of him in 3.5 years. And this is what is on my mind tonight. This is what's on my heart. That if when we step into to the realm of the kingdom of God and we begin to follow the Lord, we cannot imagine what God might want to do. We cannot even dream of the things that God would love to do. Now, I'm not belittling any job or any occupation, because there's something very honorable about work and about people that are faithful in their work and their responsibility to earn a living for their family, no matter what their occupation is. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, it's an honorable thing, and I'm not suggesting that what you do every day is not an important thing, because work is important, and your job is important, and career is important, and your livelihood. All those things are important. I'm not suggesting that it's not important. I'm just saying that it was an encounter with Jesus that changed Peter's day from an ordinary day as he stepped into some things that he could have never imagined or dreamed. Because whenever you step into the realm of the kingdom of God, wonderful, amazing things that you could never imagine can take place. And if I could, just for these few minutes tonight, just kind of stir up your thinking a little bit. Stir up your heart a little bit. and even your dreaming and your imagination to what God might want to do and how that he might want to work. And as I said, Peter could have never have imagined such a thing. I'm sure that he was convinced that his life was going to be a life of fulfilling the task that his father and grandfather and maybe for generations they had always done. And he was probably good at it. And all of his brethren, they were probably good at what they were doing. And they made a living and they fulfilled the task. But it was the ordinary, it was the mundane, it was, whenever Jesus came by, just that chance encounter, or maybe we should say that providential encounter that Jesus had with those disciples that day that changed everything. Amen. We were in a youth rally service Wednesday night up at Louisville. Brother Jim Suits preached, and he was talking about recruiting. It was really a youth rally service and lots of young people there. And he was talking about the fact that of how he was recruited into the military and how that everything changed whenever he left everything behind him and he entered into armed services and how that everything was different. And he described how important it was as Christians and especially young people that they see that God is calling and he wants to recruit you into the work of the kingdom of God. And in whatever place or whatever capacity that you might be in, that you want to be able to be used of the Lord. Now, there's a lot of things about this account here in Matthew that I thought was in Mark. That in Matthew chapter 4, there's a lot of things in this. So let's look at a few of these things in this verse of Scripture. And first of all, and that was Jesus, and their encounter with Jesus changed everything about their life. Amen. Their encounter with the Lord changed everything. I do believe that whenever you come to the Lord, it's more than just some religious experience. You really do meet Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You can really know him, and your life can really be changed. You can be set out on a course that you could have never dreamed or imagined if you begin to follow him, if you begin to do the things that he's asking you to do. And probably immediately what would come into some of our minds is, Lord, not me, I couldn't be that because I don't have the qualifications, or I could never ever be that. If qualifications were all that important when it comes to God's calling them to follow him, then certainly he would not have called this crew of fishermen. They were no doubt uneducated, rough, and not refined at all. You wouldn't have think of them as people who could be orators or preachers or people who could have any kind of a public ministry. They were what they did was behind the scenes, and it was kind of more or less a menial task. It was just labor and work and hard work and in the sun and some days successful and other days out there in the sun unsuccessful. And that was their day-to-day existence. But Jesus came by and it changed it all. It changed it all. Amen. For those of us here tonight that we have met the Lord and when we're Christians, it's a joyous and a wonderful thought that your life could be different and changed from this day forward. Amen. Amen. And what really amazes me about this story is how quick and readily that they drop their career and their responsibility, their task. They just drop it all and begin to follow the Lord. And I don't think that there's any intent at all to belittle the task or the responsibility and the job of a fisherman. The emphasis ought to be upon the fact that the call of God and the call to follow the Lord is so much more important. No matter what you're involved in, nothing is as important as heeding his voice and doing what he asks you to do. And you that may think, I'm not qualified to do anything for the Lord, you don't know what you're qualified for. You don't know how that God might want to use you and to shape you and make you in what he would like to be. As a matter of fact, when you look at the the gospel of the kingdom, and that God chooses people that are unlikely. That has always been the plan of God. He has always chosen people, unlikely, and those that that maybe did not seem necessarily qualified. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." God delights in choosing the unqualified and the unlikely, and then doing such a work in their life that he gets all the glory because he works in their life, and wonderful things are accomplished through them in spite of their weaknesses and their inability. God comes into their life and shapes them and forms them and makes them into something that's usable for the kingdom of God. Thank God that he does that. Amen. We all have our own testimonies about that. And I know that I've repeated mine many times, but I was no doubt the most bashful of the young men in the church that I grew up in. They couldn't get me to do anything. And the first time that I sang in a service with three other young people, I was 12, maybe 13 years old. And the only reason I did it is because they made me do it. My mom said, "You're going to do it." And I had no choice in the matter. I had to do it. I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. I didn't want to be up there. But I did it. And it was somewhat of a breakthrough for me, really. As far as, I don't mean in my singing career. I just mean in my ability to stand up in front of people and not look at the floor in embarrassment. I mean, whenever in youth services, they would ask me to help take up the offering, and I'd stare at the floor. And I guess I was just so full of pride. I didn't want to be embarrassed in front of people. I was so unlikely to be ever used of the Lord. And I have to tell you, I'm so thankful that God can take you with all of your weaknesses and your shortcomings, and he can still do things in your life if you're willing to allow the Lord. You remember Samuel? He was just a young lad whenever he was taken, as promised by his mother Hannah, taken to the temple. He was just a little boy. But yet he was the child that heard from God when nobody else was hearing from God. Even the priest that should have been hearing, Samuel heard the voice of the Lord. And later on in his life as the prophet of God, whenever he'd speak, the Bible says that when he would prophesy, that their ears would literally tingle. No doubt there was such profound truth and such a power and an influence of his ministry that everyone was affected by that. Even though he was young, even though he was unqualified, yet God used him. We know that David was that one that was, when they passed over all of these other of his brethren, they were all tall and handsome and well qualified. And Samuel said, "No, he's not the one. No, he's not the one. No, he's not the one." Goes down the list until, "Is this all you've got?" "Well, there's one, but he's the little guy out there taking care of the sheep. He's young. He's inexperienced. He's wet behind the ears. He's not the one." But as soon as Samuel saw him, he said, "This is the one. This is the one. This is the one." And he was anointed. And from that day forward, he was anointed of the Holy Spirit. And he prophesied from that day forward under the unction of the Spirit of God. God delights in using the unlikely, the weak, the base, the unqualified. He wants to use you. And it starts with an encounter with Jesus Christ. That's where it all begins. That's where it began with Peter and his brethren who were disciples. So I just wanted to encourage you tonight to know that A lot of times you look at your daily existence and you think, Lord, I'm not getting anything done for God. I'm not really qualified to get anything accomplished for the Lord. Well, whenever you come and you're born into the kingdom of God, God has big plans for you. Amen. God has big plans for you, everyone. Amen. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, the devil's got some plans too, your destruction. But the last part of that verse is, but I am come. I am come that they might have life. And he's talking about eternal life. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Not just eternal life, but the life you live, the years of your life that you spend in this world, it's the will of God that they be full, that they be abundant. Amen. Glory to God. Now, are you still with me tonight? The word there just means to be beyond, to be super abundant, to be superior in quality, to be excessive or exceeding, abundantly, above. Far above, beyond measure. Those are the phrases that describe the kind of life that God wants to give to everyone who is willing. Whenever Jesus said to those disciples, put your nets down, set it aside, follow me. He saw them casting their nets in the sea. They were fishers, and he said unto them, follow me. It's a pretty simple call, isn't it? It's pretty simple. Just follow me. But that's a big, broad term. When Jesus said, follow me, he meant a lot of things. He meant a lot of things. And I believe that it had to do with their willingness to stop their own earthly pursuit and to begin to pursue God. To pursue the things of God. So from that day forward, they went where he went. They saw what he saw. They witnessed his miracles. They heard his teachings. They saw the way that he moved with compassion toward the people. They saw his love. They saw his mercy. They saw the way that he interacted with the children. He saw his reach to the world, and they witnessed that. They heard the teachings of the kingdom of God, and they witnessed the power of God in those years that they followed him, and they observed, and they were trained, and they learned. And Jesus, after those 3 years, he delegated the whole future of the church and the ministry of the kingdom of God. He put it into their hands after those 3 years. Wow. And he said, greater things shall ye do because I go to the Father. I'm going to ascend to the Father. Greater things than I have done, you're going to be able to do because you're going to multiply yourself. And there's going to be a dozen, but that dozen is going to turn into 3,000. And that 3,000 is going to turn into 5,000. And that body of believers is going to grow and multiply, and there are going to be more and more and more people who are following Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's the call of God for you and for me all, to hear the voice of God and to see that God has some things he wants to do and a plan. I guess we could even say somewhat of an adventure that God has in store for you if you'll just allow him to touch your life. And you'll be willing to follow him. Step out and do what he would have you to do. It's a sad thing, but there are some people that they've come to this conclusion. If I get saved, everything's going to be over. My life is going to be so boring. Christianity is so boring. All they do is go to church and read their Bible. And it's so boring. Amen. Amen. I hope that's not what they have observed. I hope that they don't observe you and me and they say, we don't want that life. I hope that they can observe what God is doing among us and they'll recognize God has big plans. God's doing some great things in the lives of the unlikely and the unqualified. God is doing wonderful and mighty things. Instead of that, we need to understand. It was D.L. Moody that said, I've yet to see what God can do with just one man or woman who gives himself totally, 100% to Jesus Christ. Amen. What could happen if you lay it all down and you begin to follow him with your whole heart? You begin to follow the Lord and do what he would have you to do. Well, his plan is for an abundant life, a full life, a life of impact upon your generation. Amen. Having an effect upon those around you. Busy doing things that are going to have an impact upon the kingdom of God. You say, oh, I can't do that because I'm doing this little job. Turn your little job into a big job of great impact. Amen. And I forget the name of that Sunday school teacher. I believe it was it Mears? Henrietta Mears? None of y'all know either, so it doesn't matter. But she was out in California and a Sunday school teacher, and she realized that she had an opportunity, and so she began to pour herself into that outreach. People got saved, and she discipled them, and she taught them. One of them was a guy by the name of Bill Bright that was in her Sunday school class. And there were other men who made an impact upon our world, and she thought she was in this little corner, not doing all that much, but you don't know those that might be within your reach. And your little task can become something great and mighty that God might want to do through you to influence others for the kingdom of God. If you treat your small task, your small responsibility, as a great opportunity to do something for the Lord. Amen. It's yet to be seen what can happen when we're willing to be kingdom-minded. Amen. The scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him that hath chosen him to be a soldier. Don't be distracted. Don't get entangled with the things of this life. Make sure that you're focused. It's upon the work of the kingdom of God. Don't allow yourself to be distracted. A person that's truly in the work of the kingdom is going to set aside all of these distractions and be really focused upon what God wants us to do. Amen. For those of you like me that are getting a little bit older, that just simply means that we've got less time. Amen. Our days are winding down. We've got less time. So what do? Do we just wear out and say, I'm too old to do anything? Or do we just give everything we've got to focus ourselves to seeking God and making ourselves available to God and to follow the plan that he has for our life? This day was it was an ordinary day that became a remarkable day because Jesus came by. And this encounter with Jesus brought about such dramatic change that the Bible says that straightway they left their nets and followed him immediately. No hesitation. That's the most remarkable thing of this entire text to me, is that they just dropped it all. Dropped it all and said, we're going to follow him. I don't know how much they had heard about Jesus. I just don't know. But I do know that that with a short little phrase, a short little call to them that just simply said, follow me, that it had such an impact upon them that they were willing to lay aside everything else and start out in their pursuit of the things of God. That's the most remarkable thing about this calling to me, because it's hard for us to do that, isn't it? It's hard for us to lay it all aside and to put everything else aside and just give ourselves completely to the things of God and to the work of God. But I believe it's really his call. I don't mean it's his will for you to quit your job and quit your daily responsibilities. I'm just saying that it's your responsibility to not allow yourself to be so entangled with the things of this world that you can't give your full focus to following Jesus. Amen. Getting in touch with the plan of God and what He is wanting to do. So to follow the Lord meant that they witnessed the miraculous. They heard the profound. Amen. They experienced the unexpected, the miraculous, the supernatural in their lives that they would have never had witnessed before if they had not set out in this calling. Follow me. Come after me. Follow me. Because they were willing to do this, then they saw the supernatural hand of the Lord. The command of Jesus was a command that when they followed Him, they saw with their eyes, they heard with their ears, they followed Him every step that He took. They were with Him, witnessing all the things that He was involved in and He was doing, and they began to imitate Him. Do you understand that's what a disciple is? A follower. A disciple is an imitator. A disciple is someone who is being mentored. He's someone that is a learner. A teacher is instructing them. And so for those 3 years, they walked with Jesus. They heard His teaching. They witnessed His miracles and everything about His ministry and how that He approached the crowds and how He approached the individuals and how He dealt with every circumstance. They were mentored by Jesus, the Son of God. What an amazing privilege they had to follow Him, to hear His voice, and to observe the miraculous. But you know, that's exactly what we are called to as well. Amen. To follow Jesus, to follow Him, to know Him, to walk with Him, to hear His voice, to see His mighty hand. There's no greater adventure than to be willing to say yes to God and yes to the kingdom of God and be willing to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow You. And wherever it leads me, I'm going to do what You're asking me to do. Amen. And God is able, and He always has. He's chosen people and used them when you never would have believed that they could be used like they were. Amen. I love to read those stories, those accounts. Carey was the father of modern missions, but he started as a shoe cobbler. But he had such a heart for souls and a heart for the heathen and other nations that he, with out of leather, he shaped the world, the maps of the world, and had it tacked up over his workstation where he was a shoe cobbler. And he prayed over the nations of the world when he was a young man because his heart was after God. He was rejected by missionary societies and turned away as unqualified, but yet he became the leader, the father of the modern missionary movement because of his heart and his desire to follow after God. Amen. John Bunyan was a tinker. That's right. That meant that he repaired household utensils, kettles and pots and kitchen utensils. He would repair them, and he traveled around like a gypsy and repaired them and sold them. It was a lowly task, a lowly job. But that was who John Bunyan was as a young man. But we know the impact of John Bunyan. Amen. In his writings, in his preaching, in his ministry that still affects generations, centuries later, is incredible that God can take someone and pull them out of obscurity and use them to affect the world for the kingdom of God. Amen. Zwingli, you probably heard of his name. He was a shepherd, came from an Alpine shepherd's cabin. Luther, from a miner's cottage. You go on. The list is many of those that God put His hand upon and used them in such wonderful ways, including these fishermen, these disciples who dropped it all and said, we're going to follow Jesus. We're going to do what He is asking us to do. Amen. Hallelujah. John 21 and 25. There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. That was John, who was one of the eyewitnesses, one of the followers, the disciples of the Lord. And basically he was just saying, we've witnessed. I was an eyewitness to the glory of God. We touched him. We saw and witnessed all the things that he did. And we can't, if we wrote it all down, there's not enough books that can contain. That was his experience in following Jesus. Amen. Life changing. Glory to God. To change your life. Now the call was this. Follow me. But he didn't leave it at that. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So there's this process of forming you and shaping you and teaching you and discipling you. If you want God to work in your life, if you want God to use you, then you follow the Lord and you make yourself available. Become a student of the things of God, a student of the Word of God, a student of His presence and hear His voice, because He said, I will make you. I will shape you. Now you know the task of being a fisher of men, but I'm going to make you. You're going to become a fisher of men. I'm going to make you to become a fisher of men. Hallelujah. So an ordinary day became this amazing, wonderful day. A day of transformation, a remarkable day that his life was turned around. And when he began to follow the Lord, everything is different. Amen. Everything is changed. When a person comes to the Lord, they're born again and they begin to follow Jesus with their whole heart, your life is changed. Amen. For those of you who have a testimony, you've been saved for a long time, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Amen. You may be thinking, I'm just not that much for God. I haven't really accomplished that much for the Lord. But, you know, if you could just see where you would be today if it were not for God's mercy and God's grace. What if you hadn't heard the gospel? What if you hadn't decided to follow Jesus and to allow him to change your life? Where would you be? What would you be doing now? Some of us likely would not even be alive. We would have taken a completely different pathway. Amen. Our lives would be different. Young people, you have the advantage of much of your life that's before you. I just would encourage you, follow the Lord right now with your whole heart. Give it to Jesus. Follow him. Lay aside. Don't get entangled with the affairs of this world. Don't allow all these things to become so important to you. Amen. Give your life to the Lord. I mean, I understand jobs are important and, you know, you need, career and you need these various places of responsibility. And I'm not saying that you don't, but don't allow that to be the main thing. Make sure you're following the Lord above all of your pursuits. Amen. And whatever career direction that you're following, make sure that you're following Jesus and not just following some whim, something that sounds good, that you want to do with your life. The question is, what would happen if you would just give everything to Jesus? What pathway would that put you on? Amen. Amen. And be willing to follow in that pathway. Amen. It's the best life this side of heaven. Amen. Amen. It's the best life this side of heaven. The life that's following God and obeying his voice and that encounter with the Lord changes everything. For Peter and those other disciples, everything was transformed in their life and their future. And Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost, that old fisherman that he spent 3 years with Jesus. Amen. He's not the same man that he was. He's completely different and transformed. So when he stands up that day, he is a mighty voice for God. He's a mighty leader in the church. And it was those years of following Jesus and being instructed in the presence of the Lord that changed him. We need to be followers, don't we? Follow him. He wants to make you. He wants to shape you. And he wants you to see the possibilities of great
adventure, amen, that he has for your life. Amen. The enemy makes you think, he tries to convince people, oh, if you serve the Lord, if you give yourself to the Lord, you're going to have to give everything up and your life is just going to be boring and have no value and no importance at all. He's a liar. He's a liar. The great joy comes from finding your place in the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the day that we heard your voice and we began to follow you. Oh, Lord, everything is different since that day, and we're thankful. Praise God. Lord, I pray for children and young people, Lord, that somehow you would just stir in their hearts. Lord, that all of us could see, Lord, that you have a future. And you have a place in your work, in your kingdom for us all. And we must be willing to drop everything and follow you. To make you, Lord, the priority of our lives. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.